Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Joanne Dahlketter with Performing Edge Coaching International, and it is October the 9th, 2014, and today we're going to be talking about how to what to charge for your services and how to so that you get paid really well and so you're paid what you're worth, creating value in your coaching. So, and the main reason for these calls, of course, is to answer your questions and about anything that this topic or about coaching or about your business or marketing. And so some of the topics we'll cover today are how to really create that value in your coaching, because it's all about value, of course, so your clients will pay you really well. And then finding out what your coaching is worth, how to sort of compare that to your peers, and talk about structuring your fees for coaching, your coaching services, you know, whether to do that hourly or monthly or with packages, and then what to put on your website, what not to put on your website. And we'll talk about your first conversation with a client inquiry, so they'll pay you well, and then talk about mistakes to avoid in your conversations. I've found out through experience sort of what works, what doesn't work, and of course each of you will find out that too depending on your personalities and your style. And then we'll talk about handling client questions through email when they ask you different questions there, which is different than talking on the phone, I think. And then dealing with resistance from your prospects if they're saying they're not quite ready or can't afford your services, what to say. And I want to talk about following up with your client inquiries effectively. And after the phone call, what to do and what materials to send your clients, your prospects, and then how to negotiate your best fees with your clients who are on a budget or for some reason can't start right away. And then different packages you could offer, and then just talk about a case study that I've done and, just kind of a sample client and how I would go through that. And any of you can also, you're welcome to present anything that you have, questions or experiences that you've had as well. So, yeah, I just heard another ding. Did someone just join us?
Yeah, this is John Cannon.
Oh, John, how are you?
Well, I'm good. How are you doing?
Good. That's great to have you join us. Yeah, from Nebraska.
Yes, I am just late.
Yeah, Omaha, Nebraska, where that's actually where I was born. Yeah, it's exciting. So, great. Yeah, we've got Dave and we've got Alex and we have Michelle. So, great. First maybe we could just start with, I know, Michelle, you had a question you emailed me. Do you want to start with that?
Oh, sure, Dr. Joanne. Thanks. I've been asked to do a little workshop at this High Performance Academy where I live. With the basketball team.
Great. Yeah.
And I know they're teenagers, and I don't want it to be too heavy. And I was just wondering if you've done anything in the past that's just lighten the mood, or a fun activity you can do with these guys to just loosen everything up, or even incorporate it into a visualization that was effective.
Yeah, I was thinking, it is really good with teenagers to try to keep it light and do different activities for sure and break it up so they're not just listening to you. And the more different scene changes you can have, the better, I think, not just talking, but if you can break it up with, presenting a few points and then maybe showing a video. Or doing a quick exercise, or answering questions. Those are all, you can think of it like in a Hollywood movie. The thing that makes movies really good is that there's scene changes, different moods, different things that go on to keep your interest. So one thing you could do that I do is. Like with the three P's of your performing edge, you could do an exercise with each of those. The second one, power words, what I like to do is have people each, you know, take a piece of paper and draw a line down the middle, a vertical line down the middle, and then write on the left-hand side your negative thoughts, your self-doubts, things that get in your way, and then on the right-hand side write, you know, your power, positive, you know, power words, positive self-statements, something to counteract that. So one way you could do that with a group is to, you know, divide it up, say, the A's and the B's, you know, the people on the left-hand side, each say one negative thought or something, self-doubt that they have, and then the people on the right-hand side would say, ask, okay, you know, so how could they counteract that? What could they say to themselves? What could that person say that, you know, that's, that brings that, that thought into a positive mode? So, does that kind of, and then, you know, sometimes they'll come up with funny answers, you know.
Yeah.
Different, like one guy or one woman said, the negative thought was, I'm always late. And the person on the right-hand side said, okay, so what could she say differently? And they, somebody said, well, she could say, I could have been later.
Oh, yeah.
Which is just kind of funny.
Yeah.
You know, they'll come up with funny stuff, or but it also is just a fun way to. It's kind of like getting inside each other's heads, you know, because if somebody else says a negative statement on the on one side of the room, then oftentimes it's hard to for us to be our own therapist or for us to learn. But if someone else, you know, you hear that same negative thought coming out of somebody else's head, it's easy to be on the outside and say, "Oh, okay, well, I'd." You know, if they're saying I'm too slow, I'm never going to get better. You know, somebody else could say on the other side, I'm working on my speed every day, or I'm getting closer to my goal every day. And that way, everybody gets to hear how the process of how to change a negative thought into the power of words. So you could do it that way, or you could also. Say, you know, one way to work with groups is first divide each into pairs. So everybody pair up, and then have do that same exercise with pairs. So have one person be say the negative thoughts, and the other person come back with a positive thought. The opposite of that, how they could reframe that in their mind, and then switch, you know, do that for a minute or two, and then and then ring a bell or something and switch gears and have the other side do it. The B person tell their negative thoughts to the A person, and then you could have them do that exercise as pairs, and then you have them all come back as a group and report back. You know, what were the most interesting ones that you came up with from negative to positive, and you know, have each person kind of report back to the whole group, so everybody gets to learn and ask what was your learning, what was your experience doing that, and what did you learn from that, that kind of thing.
Okay.
Is that helpful? Or?
Yeah, that's great. Thank you.
Yeah, so that's one exercise. Does anyone else have suggestions too? What Michelle could do, you know, in a group to make it kind of fun, or any exercises that you found helpful? I guess everybody's thinking.
Yeah, it's still morning.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, anyone can jump in. Or another thought is just, a visualization. Just take them through something that... that you've talked about there, rather than just doing one big visualization at the end of a talk, you know, which is kind of one scene change, what you could do is each time you have a different topic, like say the three P's or say talking about confidence and getting over anxieties, you know, talk about that topic for say 5-10 minutes, so it's not too long, and then do a quick little three or five minute visualization around that topic, you know, say, like I have one client right now that's has difficulty. She's a volleyball player. She has a fear of getting hit with the ball. She's a libero, which is our defensive specialist, the one that gets the ball first. You know, it has to go down and dig the ball when it's almost on the ground. And so she's worried. She's actually had a concussion before from getting hit with the ball in her head. So that fear is real. And she and her mother were asking, she was 15 years old, mom was asking, how do I get rid of this, you know, how do you handle the fear? And I said, you know, and everybody has a fear around something or anxiety, so you could have an exercise you could do with that, no matter what sport you're in, is just have the person imagine just a slightly stressful situation, something really, you know, mildly stressful first, like with the volleyball player, you know, just imagine a ball coming, you know, just a medium hard, not super fast, that you could medium hard, and then have you have that. Imagine that in your mind, hold it there, and then be able to breathe. Sometimes your breathing will change, you know, to really fast and anxious type breathing as you imagine that situation, and then be able to just relax and take a few deep breaths so that you can kind of hold that visualization in your mind without and still be relaxed, and then kind of go to the next level up of being a more, imagine a little more stressful situation with the ball coming at you a little harder. And then be able to relax around that. So that's a, you know, way to just imagine getting, you know, kind of getting closer and closer to more fearful situations and still be able to relax, and then have each person do that and then have them share with the group what their experience of that was. Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So with this girl that you're working with you have her visualize just gradually getting hit by the ball, like, and relaxing through that so that she's facing her fear. Is that what you're doing with her?
No, sorry, I wasn't clear about that. I mean, she has a fear of getting hit by the ball, but
yeah.
That's something she wants to avoid. And
okay, good. I was like, oh, I don't know. Okay.
No, just have her imagine the ball coming at her from various angles and be able to, you know, to react quickly with her hands so she can hit the ball properly with her hands and dig it right so that she avoids hitting the ball hitting her head.
Yeah.
Kind of thing, because, you don't want that. And if she does have that imagination, sometimes she has that fear of getting hit with the ball in her head, then just be able to kind of breathe that out. Just kind of have her kind of do a breath out real quick and just breathe that out or let that go. And then just imagine, again, go back to the positive visualization of the ball coming at just the right angle that she can hit, and then just being able to get in the right position so she hits it correctly. And be able to do that, you know, just keep seeing that over and over again, seeing it right, seeing herself doing it right. But, yeah, you don't want to have her imagine getting hit in the head with the ball.
Good. I was like, oh, my God.
You know,
okay.
Sorry. Oh, I didn't mean to imply that. that wasn't really clear. But, yeah, it's, you don't want to get hit in the head. Yeah, you want to, you know, make the right move with your hands so you hit the ball with your hands.
Right.
And be able to just kind of avoid that other thing. Yeah.
Okay.
Good. Anyone else have questions?
But Dr. Joy, what is that called? Is it progressive exposure therapy?
That technique?
Yeah.
Well, various things. Some people call it SUDS, I've heard. SUDS stands for Subjective Units of Discomfort. It's basically like a progressive relaxation, but while you're facing your fear. So, you have them put down a list of things that are called SUDs, subjective units of discomfort. So that means, you know, say write down 10 things that 10 situations you're afraid of from lowest to highest level of fear. So things like, you know, if you just stand, like for her, she's just standing on the court and there's the ball comes right at right to her. You know, that would be maybe a one, because that's easier to deal with if she's expecting it and it comes right to her. And then a two, level two would be maybe it's coming from the side, so it's a little harder, and that kind of thing. And you go all the way up to a 10 might be, yeah, just, you know, it's coming, the ball's coming super fast and from an unexpected angle and, you know, from the really hard team that they, you know, your rival team and all that, you know, the most difficult situation. So you have them progress from the easiest, least stressful situation to one that's harder to deal with. Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah, it does. Yep.
Yeah, and that, because it's, I mean, it's really, it's out of cognitive behavioral therapy, and I think it's really useful for our sports psychology field to be able to do that, just to start with something that's, you know, it's like swimming or something. You don't want to, you know, you just expose somebody to, you don't want to just throw somebody in a pool and say, okay, swim, sink or swim. You know, you want to start them in the shallow end and gradually build up to what is most, you know, most difficult. So, yeah, great. Okay, any other questions? Why don't we go ahead and I'll talk about the things that charging, what you're worth for your coaching here. And then as we go along, we can get questions too. Another thing I was going to say with Michelle and everyone in giving a presentation to people is just to, you know, just break it up into small chunks and then maybe have a, like a question-answer period or a little exercise after each little section of training. Yeah, rather than just going straight through everything. And that creates scene changes and interest, too.
Okay.
It creates more connection with your audience because they're, you've got, you know, you're having that interaction there. And, you know, people are listening. And chances are if somebody's asking a question, then everybody else, a lot of other people have that same question. So maybe something wasn't clear or they want an example of something and all that. So, or sometimes if it's a high school group, you can ask ahead of time, you know, just arrive ahead of time and then talk with the other students and talk with the people there and find out what questions they have and ask them ahead. Can you ask that question during my talk here? You know, kind of plant questions, so to speak, or find out what questions they already have and then make sure they ask those during your talk in case it's, you know, everybody's kind of shy. So that works well, too. So, yeah, so great. Yeah, glad, thank you for those questions, Michelle and Alex. And John and Dave, great to have all you all here. And so what I wanted to talk about today was how to, yeah, create, charge what you're worth with your coaching. And so the number one thing you want to do is create value in your coaching so they'll pay you really well. And I think it's all about, you know, giving them the benefits and building your credibility. And one way to get credibility, I think, is through this certification program to be able to tell them you're certified as a performing edge coach and that you worked under this program and any other credentials that you have as well is really good to talk about. So, for instance, you know, when I talk with people, one thing you could do is write down a list of your of all the things that makes you unique. I think that's a good exercise that you could do this week. You know, your kind of list of credentials, and you know, and that could include any degrees, any experience that you have. And you know what specialty areas you have. You know, if you're an athlete from a particular sport, you know, write down the you know what makes you a good athlete or what sports you've had experience with. I know, like, Michelle, you've got experience with mountain biking, right, and tennis, and John, let's see, John and Dave, let's see, which sports, remind me which sports you've been working in or want to work in?
This is Dave. It's baseball, tennis, and triathlon.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, this is John. I would say the same, baseball and softball, primarily, and basketball. But I love to run, so I think I could count that in there, too.
Yeah, right. Okay. And Alex?
Well, I've been playing golf all my life, so I guess I know more of that than any other sport. And also, I coach squash players, tennis. Yeah, those are the ones that I normally see. Then basketball and ice hockey, but a bunch of them. But
great, yeah. So yeah, it's good to have a variety of things if you have other experience in other sports. Yeah, and Michelle, was it mountain biking and tennis and surfing or?
Yeah, and I've done a bunch of triathlons as well. I'm kind of a sports junkie, Dr. Joanne. I love it all.
Yeah, that's great. So, so, you know, list those on your website and also make a list yourself first of all those things that you have done. What makes you unique, sometimes women, want to coach other women, you can note that, or it could be both, working with men and women. Sometimes if you want to work with, if you had specialty working with kids, certain ages, high school or college, then talk about that, or think back to your own experiences as an athlete, and then what people you've worked with, what kinds of clients you enjoy working with. And so that's good to kind of make that list and just to, brainstorm. It's a good, I think, exercise to do, to brainstorm all the things that makes, ask yourself, what makes me a good coach? And especially in the mental training arena. And what do you, what qualities do you have that allow you to do well with your clients? And, maybe you've got, particular experience in, the sports that you're in, or any kind of achievements that you've done in your particular sport, like Michelle, you've done mountain biking, you've probably done really crazy, outrageous trails and stuff. So it makes you good with coaching people in that area with that agility and quick responses. So think about what it is that you have that makes you unique. And also, really well versed in what you do, and why the mental training part is so critical. If you can kind of search into your own in the training that we've done here, as well as just looking into your own experience and your own self, and why you think the mental part is so important. That'll help you to kind of be able to create that value and in your coaching, and get understand in your own mind what it is that you do well, so that you can translate that into really good value for coaching. And I think it's a lot of it's just experience. Talking with people on the phone about this, and there's words and. But the connection, I think all of you have a really good, I've noticed a really good way about you. That's why, we're all in this program, is able to connect with other athletes and clients. And, building that connection there is so key, and being able to, be really good listeners, understand the issues that are going on, have that empathy, and, you know, really pinpoint what it is that they need, that particular client at that particular time. And then, you know, kind of your, so that's the connection is really important. And then, thinking about your toolbox of, you know, tools that you've gotten from this program and maybe all in addition to what you do, your own toolbox you've developed over the years, you know, putting those together. You can list those, what's in your toolbox, what tools you offer people. If you have, I know, Alex, like you've got a particular kind of training, in your background as well, right?
I'm sorry, I can barely hear you. What did you say?
Oh, I'm sorry. Shoot, is that better there?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm holding my headphone here, and if occasionally it goes away. let me know. Yeah, if you can't hear me, so I'll try to hold this really close. Can everyone hear me now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. If you, just saying, you know, list your own toolbox. What tools you have, what you gained through this program, and then also any, your training in the past, and what kinds of tools you can offer to people, your Performing Edge book, all the tools in there, the MP3s, the visualizations that we can do for people, as well as, different exercises, the 3 Ps, and all of the ways to handle anxiety, and just list if you can think about all those different things that you do, just brainstorm those, and all the skills that you have as a coach. Put those down on paper so that you can kind of first. It's kind of like doing research on yourself to find out what it is that you have. Your credentials, your experience, your specialties, your experience as an athlete and working with others, that allows you to make you unique. So that's the first area, is creating that value in your coaching, and then being able to put that into list those things in an a standard email that you write to people, and also put it on your website. On a coaching page, what it is that you do. The next area is kind of finding out what you're worth, what I wanted to talk about there. In that case, I think it's good to go online. That can help, and search for other people at your level in your geographical area. And sometimes websites will give their pricing information, so you could search on performance coaching or life coaching, sports coaching, sports psychology coaching, those sorts of things, and see if there's other people in your geographical area there that are doing this sort of thing, and find out what they charge. You could even, be a prospective client. You could call up that person and say you're interested, what are your fees or that sort of thing. So that can be kind of doing research on what other people are charging in your area. But also, be aware that for what we do, you can have a global interest as well, and not only be limited to your one geographic area, but you can work with people all over the country and all over the world with these skills by phone and by Skype. But you may find that the bulk of your clients may come from your own area there if you're, close to you. If you're, say, wanting to, see people in your own office there, see them, do it locally. So it's good to kind of do research on what people are charging in that area. The good news is actually, though, there might not be anybody in your area that's doing this sort of thing. It's a really unique thing, sports psychology. Even I'm in right here in the Bay Area, and oftentimes parents will call me and say, I've been searching all over, and you're the only one with that does this type of work, that I can find in the Bay Area or on the peninsula here in this part of the San Francisco Bay Area. And so that's really good feedback for me. It's good news. I mean, here's the San Francisco Bay Area is huge, you know, and very progressive. But yet, even there's not that many people doing this type of work, or no one close to me here. So, and you may find that in your area too. So, if that's the case, it's kind of that supply-demand equation. If you're very unique in what you do and there's a high demand for what you do and low supply, then you can charge, I feel like you can charge more, or people are willing to pay more for your services because you don't have to compete against, you know, with the Costcos or the Targets or the, you know, lots of other people doing this sort of thing. You're the go-to expert. You can make yourself the go-to expert in your area. And so people see you as more of a specialist, so they're willing to pay more. And another thing in terms of finding out what you're worth is to test the waters. Just start lower in terms of your fees and see if people will accept that fee and pay for your fees. And if you are doing it for a while, then it's okay to raise your fees a bit and see if people continue to pay. And if there's no resistance, then you continue to raise them over time. So it's always better to start low and go higher than the other way around. But if you find that you get to a certain point and people are not paying, you get too much resistance, then you can sort of stay at that level or go a little bit lower again. But it's I think the nice thing about our field is that it's very unique, and it's there's not that many people doing this. There is a high demand and low supply of good well-trained performance coaches or people in mental training, sports psychology, and there is a really a huge demand for it. So I think you can find that people will want to work with you. So, so I was going to talk about some other things here now, structuring your fees and all. So far, do you have any questions? Does anyone have questions about what we've covered so far?
Sounds good.
Okay. Okay, so in terms of structuring your fees for your coaching, I think it's services. You can either do it by an hourly basis or a monthly basis. I think it's good to do the first session is often a assessment or evaluation. So, if you go to a doctor's office, any medical doctor's office, they'll often, or just about anyone, they'll charge a higher fee for the first session because they're spending more time with you. They're getting an assessment, evaluation, as well as doing treatment. And so I think you could do the same thing, charge a higher fee for that first session and then a regular fee for hourly after that. So, for instance, I charge like $250 or $295 for a first session, and then $250 per session after that. And because I've been doing this for a while, I'm able to charge higher fees. But for example, you might start out with a regular fee of $75 or $95 for an hour. But that first session, I'd say, if you're going to spend more time with them, charge more like $150 or so, and see if justify that with the person saying that it's a longer first session and that you're doing more assessment, more evaluation. And really what you're doing in that first session is three things. You're doing you're doing that evaluation to find out what's going on. You're building rapport with the person, and you're also doing coaching. You want to definitely provide coaching for them in that first session, not just evaluation. Otherwise, people often won't, you may lose the person or they may not return if they're only getting an evaluation. You're just asking them lots of questions and they're not getting any feedback or any direction. So I think it's really important to do both the evaluation and some coaching, you know, giving them some tips and things to do, things to think about during that first session as you're going along, so they're not just so they really get a sample of what you can do. So you're doing evaluation and you're doing coaching, and the third thing you're doing in that first session is marketing, you know, actually showing them what you can do and giving them a sense of hope and kind of giving them an action plan for what's coming up. So you can give them all kinds these three things are going on. So you're doing a lot of work in that first session. I think it's people expect to pay more for that first session, and you I think you should pay charge more since you're doing a lot of extra work. But it's your choice too. There's no right or wrong to this sort of thing. The nice thing about our field and in this country is that we in the U.S. Probably Canada and everywhere else, that you could charge. There's no a fee structure when you're in your own business. You can charge what you want and have and if you provide that good value for people, they're going to give you the they're going to be paying you well because they're getting tremendous value. They're getting results from this. So. So, for example, when I started out many years ago, I started out charging $75 an hour, and then over time I moved it to $95 an hour, and that was fine, and then I moved up to $150 an hour, and that was I wasn't getting resistance there. People were paying that, so then I moved to a monthly. Structure so that I was charging $600 a month, so $150 for a block of four sessions, $150 per session for those four sessions was $600, and sometimes you can also do if they pay you for a monthly fee for four sessions, charge a little less per session, so to give them an incentive to pay you monthly as opposed to hourly, and that can work really well too. And then over time, I was charging $600 a month, and then that seemed to be going well. So then I raised it up to $795 per month, and I stayed at that level for a period of time, and now I've raised it to $997 per month, $997 per month. So it's basically $250 an hour, and it's the seven. The numbers. Yeah, I know it sounds kind of superstitious, but there's been a lot of research showing that the people pay. Respond well to the number seven when you have that in your fee structure. So if it's $997, it just sounds better than $995. So if you can include that, you see a lot of programs that are have that seven at the end, $97 for something or $197. So if you and of course it's just psychologically $997 sounds a lot less than $1,000 a month. So it's just, even though it's a kind of a mental trick, people respond to it better. It's easier on the eyes, I've found that works well. So that's an example of how I sort of moved up in my fee structure, and how you can too. It's a matter of, as I was saying, testing the waters and starting out lower and then raising your fees. And the great news is there's no nobody saying what you can or can't do, and it's a great profession to be in, I think, because people see you as a specialist. If you position yourself as the expert in your industry, then people are going to come to you and pay you what you're worth, as long as you provide that really good value. So does that kind of make sense? Anyone have questions about that or about your fee structure, how to, or ideas about what to do or what not to do?
I have a question, Dr. Joanne. If you're, I'm just wondering, when you're treating, working with clients internationally, are you doing email checks or PayPal, or what are you doing for that?
Oh, for charging them?
Yeah.
So I take credit cards, and so I use a merchant account for that, and PayPal works is fine too because it's free. But sometimes it can be a little bit problematic. Some people don't want to pay by PayPal. They'd rather just use their, you know, their credit card. So, yeah, if you go to the service that I use is called, the VIP. Yeah, it's an e-commerce system. It's my link for that is viprunning.com. So it's like VIP, like very important person, VIPrunning.com. And yeah, I can send you guys that link too. And they have on there an e-commerce system, a shopping cart, or you could just get the merchant account there. And so they just take a regular percentage. You know, it's small. It's between 1% and 2% for each for your credit cards. And they... yeah, in fact, maybe next time I could talk a little bit more about that in our next call on October 23rd, how to take credit card fees, credit cards and all. But most people I found are, you know, very comfortable just using their MasterCard or Visa, and that way internationally it's just charged, like for the U.S., it's charged in U.S. dollars. So yeah, that works. That works fine, and then I usually just take their credit card information over the phone, and always ask for the all the information, the credit card number, expiration date, and the little three number security code on the back, and then make sure you get their full name that's associated with the credit card, and their address that's associated with the credit card, and then I just put that information into my system here, or you can actually set it up with this e-commerce system. Just set it up on your website so people could click on it, a link, and then just fill in their own information there. Either way, but I found that when you're talking with people in a conversation, and then if they're ready to start working with you, it's much better to if you have a merchant account to be able to. There's a trust built there right away, and because people tend to procrastinate on things, it's better to, if you can take their credit card information there over the phone and then you put it into your merchant account, then you set it up right away so that they are ready to go. Whereas if you tell them, oh, just click on this link and fill this info out, they may tend to not follow through or not do as well. Yeah, so it's better to, that's what I do anyway, but there's various ways of taking payment. Do you have a different way, Michelle, that you're doing? Maybe she's in Canada, so maybe she's having trouble with her.
Hi.
Oh, there you are.
I was muted, sorry.
Oh, okay.
I'm coughing a lot, so I have to make sure I mute myself. Checks is what I've been doing.
Yeah, checks are fine too. Just regular. Are you in e-checks or regular? Should people just write you checks?
No, I'm just doing regular checks. But e-checks, I was thinking about doing as a possibility. But there's a lot of people that are still not familiar with that, and they get a little bit freaked out by it.
Yeah, right. So I mean, just if they're in your office, there, check. Yeah, regular check is fine too.
Yeah.
It works great.
But I like your idea of taking their credit card information over the phone and then you just deal with it so you know it's going to get done. Because people do, they procrastinate and they forget, and the last thing you want to do is chase people down.
Yeah, and that way, if you have that and you build that trust with people, then, you know, say for a monthly chart, you say it's, well, be real clear that it's, with monthly, I charge, you know, by the month or for four sessions, whichever comes first, for those four sessions, you know, this certain amount. And then when those four sessions are finished, I say, okay, so now we're ready for our next block of four sessions. And they go, okay, fine. And usually, and I'll, and then I already have the credit card information, so I can just charge for another four sessions without having to deal with, you know, billing every time, every session. So that works really well that way. As opposed to a check, if people have to write you a check every time, then it's kind of a, has to be this, you know, conscious effort to write that I'm paying you every time, and they're just kind of write it, having to write it out and think about it. You know, people then tend to, you know, have to keep thinking over and over again, okay, am I getting value for this? Is this worth it? I think going through that process every week, as opposed to if you have the credit card information and if you're building trust and everything is going well, you just, as long as you're clear that you're charging their credit card each time, once a month, they're okay with that, and they don't have to go through that mental process, and they don't think about it, but they're just happy with the services they're getting from you. So, yeah, so that works well. So,
and do you, when you sell it as a package of four, do you try to have them come once a week in that month, or are the kind of like, because I think you would have momentum if you saw them once a week would be better than if you sold a package of four and they use that over, you know, 2 or 3 months.
Right. Yeah. I always do a weekly thing. That's much better. That's a good question. Michelle, so that, you know, I just make it, yeah, once a week. And if you can make it the same day, at the same time, like every Friday at 10 o'clock kind of thing, that works better because people get into a rhythm of that session, coming at that certain time. But occasionally if a client is really distressed or needs a lot of help in the beginning, or has a big tournament coming up or big game or race, sometimes they want to be seen twice a week. So I'll do the four sessions, you know, once on a Tuesday, once on a Friday, and Tuesday and Friday. So use up the four sessions in 2 weeks, which is because they get more value quicker, and they're leading up to their event, maybe has a deadline. So then when those 2 weeks are done, you just be clear with them that, okay, so we used our four sessions, so now, you know, ask, would you like to do another, say I'd recommend that you do, you know, another block of four sessions here to get ready for this, is the way I say it to them, as opposed to just asking them, would you like to do four more sessions, you know, give them your recommendation and tell them why, you know, it would help them to have additional sessions, and say, here's what we could cover in those next sessions. So that's another sort of marketing tip for you, is to always be thinking ahead as to what, you know, what's the next thing is you're going to be doing with that person, to not just say, okay, we're going to do four more sessions. They're just thinking, paying this money, what am I getting for that? If you can say, you know, one way to do it is with your Performing Edge book, you know, go through each of the chapters in the book. There's 26 chapters or so, and each week do one of the chapters in the book, and that way they're progressing through it. And sometimes, like with the visualization chapter, or, you know, that you could do four sessions just on that as well. And that way they have the expectation that, okay, each week we're doing another chapter here, and we're, you know, a third of the way through the book, and they're thinking it's going to be four more sessions for this next section here. So that's a good way to be able to provide value and market your services. And or you could say to them, okay, we've covered, you know, kind of tell them how you've progressed so far. Say we've covered these areas. Say, you know, every now and then give them a summary of where, as you're getting closer to the end of the four sessions, that block, it's important to, you kind of reassess in your own mind, okay, where are we at with coaching, and how can I create more value here to keep them, the client, interested in progressing forward. And you can say, for instance, I have a girl who I'm coaching with cross-country running, and she's having trouble with anxiety and before races. And so I'm and often clients, they don't keep progressing forward in it's not only just a linear fashion, it's often an ups and downs, and they have, you know, she's done well one race and was less anxious. She was actually at the beginning throwing up before races. She was so anxious before them. But I was working, so she was getting better, but then she came up against a really tough, very competitive race and didn't do as well. So, if you can kind of give the client and the parent, a sort of progression of, okay, we're making progress here with the less important races, but she's still got to deal with the more elite top-level races, so we need, I think it would be helpful to do these next four sessions and really focus on, you know, handling the pressure in this next level of competition, you know, that kind of thing. And then we can talk about, exactly, and then be specific about whatever it is that client might be facing, right before the race, the self-talk, what she's saying to herself, and how to deal with the other people around her and all of that. So, and how to deal with, during the race, the, upset stomach and all. Those kind of things, if you can be really specific about what you've accomplished so far, kind of a summary, and then a sort of action plan for what's coming up, then you're much more likely to have the client continue with another block of four sessions to continue on. And if you have, like we were saying, their credit card information, then it's easy for them to say, oh, okay, fine, and they don't have to do anything. And you just take care of billing the credit card. So that works well in terms of creating, more of a long-term relationship with the client and working with them for, say, a period of 3 to 6 months, sometimes a year. I have one client I've worked with for 12 years now. Amazing. So sometimes you can get people that are, stay with you for a long period of time because they're working on a series, all kinds of different issues that come up in their life. So, is that helpful?
Yeah, it's great. Thank you.
Yeah, great. So that's some examples. Any other questions about structuring your fees or experiences people have had? Okay, so I was going to, the next topic is what to put on your website and not put on your website. I think it's really important to include, benefits and the types of clients you work with. And all the things that you do that we talked about initially, your credentials, your experiences, your what makes you unique, your specialties. I would say one thing I'd recommend is to not put your fees on your website. And there's pros and cons of this, and some people do, some people don't. And do make it clear that you do, if you see people in an office, say if you have a home office like I do here, that you see people here in your office and or by phone or Skype, that make it clear on your website that you can do either so that you're not confined to just one geographical area. Do both phone and office, and that people from around the world anywhere can work with you, and then but I'd say it's better to not to say fees and options are discussed by phone depending on your situation. That way you're not cutting out people that maybe initially they might look at a fee and say, oh, I couldn't afford that, or I wouldn't want to pay that. But they haven't really met you yet, and they haven't heard you, and and seen you, and where people go to my website and they see videos, if there's any way you can make a video, you know, like using that Google Hangouts that we've had. And with each of you, I always do a video conferencing call, and I invite you guys to do that with, yeah, Michelle, I want to do one with you. I did one with Alex already. It was great. And one I would like to do one with you, John, and Dave, and be able to chat about what we do is I interview you to talk about your uniqueness and what you offer and what makes you a great coach and give you a great testimonial on the video conferencing. It's done by what's called Google Hangouts. It's like Skype, like a Skype video call, but it's actually Google Hangouts, which is even better. It's much clearer, and it goes right up on YouTube. I put it on my YouTube channel, and you can put it on your YouTube channel, if you like, in your website. And so I'm really giving you a great testimonial. So that's a really good way to have a video up there, and then you can do other videos as well with this Google Hangouts. It's all free there to be able to do, and it's a wonderful thing that Google offers. And that goes, because Google owns YouTube, it goes right up. It goes on YouTube, which is the number one and two websites in the world that people search on. So if you can have a video there where you're talking about your services too, your coaching, and talk about client problems and issues, then people get to see you and know you and hear you, and they get connected to you so quickly if they see you there, talking on a video. It's kind of text is good if you have that on your website, and audio is better, and the video is even is best. More and more people are using video now to communicate. And it doesn't have to be super professional, or you don't have to hire any kind of camera crew. You can just do it, through Google Hangouts. You just use that webcam that's right built into your laptop. So so if you have that on there, then people will see you first and see the value of you, and they'll want to work with you. And then you get them on the phone and talk with them, and that's when you can talk about your fees. And after, when you put it into the context of the value of what you do, then people are willing to pay you much more, pay you what you're worth. I found, it makes sense in their minds when they realize that, oh my gosh, this person is offering something that no one else does, or that can offer my son or daughter, the kind of results and coaching that they really need. And they can just hear your connection and, how dedicated you are to this field and how experienced you are and knowledgeable. And all that comes through in videos on your website and then your conversation with them. So they'll want to pay you because you've built up a relationship with them. So that's why I encourage you to, I think it's better to not put fees on your website. And that way it gives you the flexibility, too, to gives you room to negotiate so that you can charge your high fees. And then in case if there is a special case where a client is really, a real top elite athlete, maybe national class level or world class level or going for the Olympics, and you want to be able to offer them a discounted fee, it gives you room to be able to do that. And I think it's occasionally I'll do that if it's somebody that's really high caliber, and that way you're helping them, and then when you work with them, you can get a really valuable testimonial from them that can help you to build your credibility as well. So so that works well there. So any questions about that part? Yeah, let me talk about just a few minutes about the first your first conversation with a client, and then maybe if we don't get to all the issues here, we'll go to a part two next time as well with some of these topics. So your first conversation with a client inquiry is before, I would say, first of all, usually they'll email you first, or they'll leave a phone message, or maybe with their email address. And so before your first phone call, if there's any way you can send them an email with your, what you do, and some links to your website, links to your videos on your website, then that can be really helpful to build your value and your credibility so that they build a relationship with you online there even before you talk with them. Then your first conversation will be even more focused. So, for instance, I'll talk about saying what you've done in your past with your in an email with how you've, let's say if they're in baseball, like John, you said you're working in baseball, and I think Dave, if it's a baseball client, you can say you specialize in that area, and you're an athlete in that sport and have worked with lots of clients in that area, so that they know that you specialize with that particular sport and that type of problem. That if they're talking about a particular issue they have, say performance anxiety, say that you specialize in performance anxiety, so that they know that it's something you really have a lot of experience in. In my email, I'll say I specialize in sports psychology. I work with many blank, and then fill in the blank that whatever they are saying. I've worked with many whatever it is, tennis players or whatever it is that they're saying. If that's true, that you have experience there, and then I say I'm confident that I can help you with your blank, and then I fill in the particular problem that they're talking about. And I can help you gain your performing edge, which translates into success and satisfaction into everything that you do. And then I'll, in an email, I'll say, if you could take a look at this video, here's where I talk about, some of the coaching that I'm doing, and then I'll put a link to a video on my website there they can look at. And then I say things like, put a little bullet list of what you do. Like your performing edge coaching program is very focused on your specific goals and includes, and then list some of the things that you do, assessment tools, say designed personally for you, power mental training exercises, list an action plan customized for you, four full sessions or more if needed, per month, customized visualizations, MP3, audio file with each session, so that's really important to, for exactly what they need. And weekly assignments, I tell them I offer, include training tips and articles and very personalized feedback and, guidance and support and goal setting each week specific to your needs. And tell them, on the phone and in an email, that you say I tailor each session to you personally and provide a series of customized visualization exercises on an MP3 file or audio file that's specifically for your own goals and needs. And it's a very specialized service that no one else provides. And I think you'll be really pleased with the highly customized program that I offer and the unique personalized way that I work. And you can say if you're, from out of the area, I do much work by phone, so location doesn't matter. And then I'll say, like in an email regarding coaching options and fees, you can call. I can give you specific fee information and more about the program over the phone. And so, and then you could say, specific time, like Monday through Friday, 10 to 12, or is specific, give your time zone, is generally a good time to reach me. So, give the time, hours that you're available. And then, I'll talk about how it works. I'll say, you can say this in an email and also just in your conversation with them that, this kind of program has been extremely successful with my clients and can make all the difference in your confidence and your performance in every area of your life. And then you talk about, and then include your bio or just a short bio at the bottom of your email too, I think, so that they get to know what you've done. say I've included my bio below and details for how to get started with personal with this coaching, and I do weekly telephone or in-office personal coaching sessions to help people with both mental and physical training. And depending on if they have a coach, sometimes you can do both. You know, if, say, a runner, if it's a sport that you're interested in, that you have a lot of experience in, you could do both the mental and the physical coaching with them, or just the mental part. And and then you can just say you're welcome to call or email, set up a coaching time, and then kind of list your how it works, what kinds of things you can do with them, like building confidence and motivation, handling pressure situations. You can manage emotions and help them with that, with turning negative feelings into positive energy, and you know, preventing burnout, healing from injuries. A lot of times you'll have clients that have injuries. You can list, different topics that often these are based on what I've found are, client often the most common questions or concerns that clients have, handling negative thoughts or overcoming fear of failure or fear of success. You can help them with relaxation management and fine-tuning their concentration and their mental rehearsal and visualization of, an upcoming event. Or, oftentimes they'll have an event that's coming up, so you want to help them to put it all together on that race day or game day, and then combining the mental and physical training to produce the results you want. So those kinds of things you can put into an email and talk about on the phone, depending on what their specific problem is. You want to do really good listening. And I'll include the email, this email in, or the one that the kind of standard one that I give, and then you can fill in the blanks with your own information, customize it for yourself. I'll send out an email to all of you with this the kind of a sample email that I use with clients, and then also I'll put it on the website there on the Performing Edge Coaching website on our private members area. So you have that available, too, and then you could just kind of use that as a sample and go from there. And so, one of the things that we do with that I want to encourage you then with your first conversation with a client is send out that email first if you can so they can be reading about you. And then with that first conversation, if you're going to be talking with someone at a certain time, and you can plan for it, really try to be ready, do everything you can to be really focused. Sometimes I'll go for a walk for 5 minutes just outside to kind of energize my body, and I'll, just visualize it going really well, and, use these same visualization techniques yourself for your own business coaching that you do with your clients, that you encourage your clients to do. You can, this visualization is really powerful. So I'll visualize really connecting with them and listening and being energetic and being really focused on their issue. So you want to visualize that ahead of time and take a few deep breaths in and, whatever it is that you need to do to kind of get yourself mentally ready for a good conversation. And then when you are on the phone with them, you're able to do that real deep listening and, asking them good questions, talking with them about their main problem, just what it is that they're focused on. Just really kind of pinpoint in on usually it's one specific issue or one crisis that just happened that encouraged them to call you, and say, what was it that prompted you to call me? That's a good question to start with. And then just practice really deep listening, listening to what their not only their words, but their emotions and what they're going through, and just try to have that empathy and really connect with them about what they're feeling. If you can build that rapport first and show them that you really understand their issues, that is really key to being able to turn them into a good, well-paying client. So have that rapport first. Let's say, you know, have a conversation of 15, 20 minutes or maybe sometimes a half an hour if they need that. I wouldn't go to, you know, 60 minutes because it's too much of your time and it's more like giving them a whole session. You want to just, you know, talk with them, you know, get their, answer their questions, build that rapport is what you want, but then be able to set up that first session and say, you know, I've worked with many of this type of problem successfully. And then sometimes you can give an example, a client story, showing your techniques and showing how you work with a client. And, you know, you want to give them, you know, even if you can give them a sample technique that you use, talk about the three P's or something, you know, positive images, power words, present focus, that works really well. Talk about how you do, how you can make them a custom MP3 audio that no one else does. Those are kinds of things that no one else is offering, so it makes you really unique. And then let them ask you about your fees when the time is right, when they feel comfortable. That will come up, and then you can talk about that. So, and just so you're always talking about it in the context of the value that you can provide. And in the relationship, then it makes sense to them. It just kind of, so the conversation just kind of flows. If you have a sense of humor, if there's anything funny that you want to throw in at the right moment, if it's appropriate, that laughter always helps too, to just, you know, break the ice and make them feel comfortable with you. You want to just, you know, show them that you're really, connecting with them, and that you really, if you can show your passion, you know, that you're just really a, that you absolutely love what you do, that you're really good at this stuff, that you're really interested in that, in helping that client get better, and that you just know this stuff works, then the conversation flows, so they just really feel comfortable with you and want to work with you. And so often if it's a parent that's calling about their child, sometimes I only talk to the parent and then they set up an appointment. Or sometimes if it's a child they're interested in, then sometimes they want me to speak with the child as well on the phone. If they're right there, then sometimes I'll talk with them for a few minutes too and just talk with them about school or whatever their you know, their sport, and just kind of connect with them a little bit. That often helps too. And then what I'd say is, yeah, I've got appointments this, if it seems like they're ready, say I've got appointments this week, say on Tuesday and Thursday at this time. Do you want to set up an appointment time? And oftentimes they'll say, yeah, let's do Tuesday or something. And sometimes, you know, the ideal situation is if they're so interested in you and they're so ready to go, they just want to set up the appointment and talking about your fees is only just a small part of the conversation. Or they'll say, by the way, what is your fee or whatever? And you tell them that, and they said fine, and they'll say fine, and it's not a big issue at all if you've built that rapport with them and they understand what the value is. I'll tell them the monthly fee, and then sometimes if they don't want to pay a whole month's fee, then I'd say, well, let's just do one session, do the introductory session, and you know, charge your higher fee for that first session in case they're just only going to do one session. At least you get paid for that session. Well, but oftentimes they'll do that first session and then they want to go ahead and sign up for a month or two or three sessions and say it's and I'll tell them with my work I'll say it's depends on how confident you are and where you're at with your clients, but I'll say it's a 2-month commitment so that it paid by month, but 2-month commitment to to start with, to make sure that you're getting the full program, and you know, talk about it as a coaching program, not just coaching. But when you use the word program, people feel like it's a structure, and that they're moving through a series of skills and lessons. so that you see it as a group of sessions, not just one session kind of thing, or not just open-ended, but it's a coaching program. So you might have a coaching program of, you know, 8 sessions or 10 sessions for a certain amount of money, so you can do a package that way. So does that kind of make sense so far, what we covered? I think everyone probably is on mute here. But
makes sense.
Oh, good. Okay. Thanks. So I was thinking, why don't we, since it's getting, we're running out of, let's see, I don't know if I should continue with these or do some of these the next time. Do you guys have questions so far? Any other questions?
No.
I just have a comment. I like how you refer to it as a coaching program. I think that's really good because it sets an intention.
Yeah, good. Yeah, I think it's it's kind of like when people take a class, they expect to sort of sign up for 2 months, you know, 8 week or 10 week class, and they you know, go through these series of lessons. And if you use the Your Performing Edge book, you could use that and say, we're going to go through, say, 8 or 10 chapters in the book, and they don't have to be all sequential. They could be, you could go through it in a series of various chapters to pick out the ones that apply to them, kind of thing. So, so that can work well, too. So why don't we, I know it's almost 10:30, we can do next time on our next PECI call will be October the 23rd, Thursday, same time at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 Eastern. We can go over part 2 of this. We'll talk about mistakes to avoid in your conversations and handling email questions and dealing with resistance from prospects and how to follow up with your clients. And we'll talk about what materials to send your clients and negotiating your best fees and then packages and more. I'll give you more examples from of clients that I've worked with and, you know, different difficult situations that come up on the phone and how to handle those. And then and I'll also talk about the, you know, billing parts, you know, more in detail, how to bill with credit cards and how to make sure that you get paid well, kind of the administrative part of things. So that'll be kind of part 2 of this, this series here on charging for fees. We could, there's many things that make it work really well together, I think. So, so that'll be great. So any tidbits or maybe other things that you found most helpful about this session so we can kind of recap and things that everyone could what you got out of the call that was most helpful.
Dr. John, can I ask a quick question?
Well, sure. What's that?
Are there any sports people, like professional athletes today, that are, you know, that we can use as an example, that are either using mental training and having a lot of success with it, and it's kind of turned their career around, or people that are just tanking because their head game isn't right?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Because I try to research this, and I can't come up with anything, so I know there are people out there doing it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's lots. Sometimes clients, top athletes don't want to mention the sports psychology part because they're, or they feel like that's sort of private, or they don't want others to get that same edge, I think.
Yeah.
So, but what you can do is, oftentimes in the Olympics, I know the last Olympics there was a number of people, I forget the specific names. Lolo Jones is a famous track runner who said in the last Olympics at or the Summer Olympics of 2012, she's a hurdler, and she was saying, I have my sports psychologist on speed dial, on my speed dial.
Yeah.
Meaning, you know, just she uses her sports psychologist all the time. So that's one example of that. You could Google her name, Lolo Jones, and see if you can find that quote there. And then you could Google sports psychologist for professional teams. And yeah, a lot of times it's you know, different teams will have a sports psychologist. For instance, Coleman Griffith was the first. He was hired as a sports psychologist by a professional sports team and hired by the Chicago Cubs. So you could use that as an example and just look at that. You could Google his name, Coleman Griffith. So there's various, and if I think of others, I know there's lots of others, I just don't have them on the tip of my tongue here. But you could use... Yeah, let me just think about more different specific names of people. I know that a professional tennis player just recently talked about that. So I just have to think of the name here. So let me just do a little bit of research on that and think about which athletes are out there and are you know talking about this, and then I'll. Yeah, I can email you that and in my next email here, in the next couple days here. Would that be okay?
That would be fantastic. Thank you.
Yeah, that's a really good question. Yeah.
Well, even like, you know, there are athletes that we've witnessed just fall apart on game day, you know,
yeah.
In the Olympics or so on, when they were a favorite to win, but
uh-huh.
They fell apart. And, you know, I know there was a Canadian mountain biker that was supposed to win the Olympics at Athens, and she just had a massive anxiety attack, and she was crying, and she was pushing her bike, and, you know, that sort of thing, where you see how they could have been positively affected by a good mental coach.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so those are really great examples. Yeah, somebody that has, like, a mental meltdown. has all the physical skills, but if they're not trained mentally, then they're not prepared for what could happen. And those are great examples to use, even if they could have, they maybe lost that gold medal opportunity because they didn't have a medal coach. So that's a great way to be able to frame it as well. And then, I'm trying to think of other people to use. Shannon Roberry, I worked with at the Olympics, the 2012 Olympics, and she was a two-time Olympian and in 1500 meter runner. And in the last Olympics, she did the 3000 meters. So she placed the high in with the 1500. She placed the highest of any American. And so that's when I went there to the Olympics in London and worked with, and then NBC TV actually was there and filmed me working with her and interviewed me and interviewed her talking about the value of sports psychology. So that was really great. So you could use her name, too, as a two-time Olympian, and she's a two-time world champion. So And she realizes how much she gets really anxious and of all the different things that can happen on the track, getting shut out, getting knocked down, and all that. And we worked on, confidence and visualizing success and all. So that was great. So that's one example, Shannon Roberry, for the 2012 Olympics. And if you go to my website, it's drjoanne.com, and then click on TV show there at the top of the navigation bar, then you should just page down to see that video. There's a video of me, of NBC, filming me doing that. So that's a great way, something where a national TV show actually, documented that that we were working together and all. So that was great. She was really open about talking about the need for that. So great. Okay. So that's good. Any other? What was most helpful for you? You guys? Is anyone else on the call too? Still?
Yeah, John, still here.
Hi, John. Yeah, what was most helpful for you today? Any nuggets that you got or helpful information from our
call? Well, no, it's all very, very good. Just the idea of, how you go from an idea and then to get the word out there in the marketing and how to make it a reality. It was all very, very helpful.
Yeah. Oh, good. Yeah. Being able to just start with your list of things that you do well and all, and writing those down is great.
Yes. Yeah.
So good. Okay, that's good. And I'd encourage you guys that everyone in our program, and especially you guys here since you're on the call with John and Michelle, to just email me or a time that you'd like to do, I can set you up with doing this Google Hangouts, video, which is easy to do. It's just like if you have a computer, I just email you the instructions on how to do it, and I can do a little video with you, just kind of interviewing you about how you work with athletes, and I want to be able to give you a really good testimonial, and, it'd be just short, informal, short 5-minute conversation about what you do and all.
Mm-hmm.
So that'd be great. Yeah, we can do that, this week sometime if you'd like. Just let me know a good time, and we'll make it happen for you. And then that way you'll have a video of me saying good things about you, and endorsing you and all. And so that's a good way to start with a video and all. Somebody else, saying what you do well and all. So. Yeah, so that'll be great. Yeah, Michelle, was there things that you thought were helpful?
What you talked about selling it as a package and the coaching program, the way you labeled that, I also just like the idea of getting the credit card over the phone because that makes it so much simpler for them. And you tend to find a way to always make stuff simpler for the person you're working with, which I think makes a huge impact on their lives, right? Because you're there to service them.
Right. Exactly.
So.
Yeah. So that's good. Yeah, yeah. If you can do that.
I also like it when you tell us stories of athletes that you're working with and how you're dealing with their particular situation and how you're helping them. I like hearing that.
Okay, yeah, like the volleyball player getting hit in the head.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are real kind of fears that happen. That's great. Okay, good. Yeah, I've got lots of 30 years of stories to share. Every kind of.
Well, it helps us because then if we're faced with that particular issue, then we've already heard it before. We've heard it from you, and we've heard how you've dealt with it, so it'll make it easier for us.
Yeah, exactly. So that's great. So, yeah, so that's good. I'm glad I could help with the stories. And if you have any stories or questions about if you feel stuck with a client or athlete, just let me know, too. So, good. Okay, well, thanks so much, everyone. Thanks, John and Michelle. And Dave, I don't know, Dave, are you still there? I don't know if he's still there. He might have left. Alex, appreciate all of you coming and attending our call today. It's always an honor for me to work with you. And it's a really great investment of our time here together, I think, build this community and share ideas and learn from each other. So, great. So we'll do next time, October 23rd, 9 a.m. Pacific, and go do part two of this to talk about those other topics here and more specific things with the administrative part. How to market yourself and get the best high-paying clients you can and to keep them going for you. So, great. And it's a fantastic, in addition to just being, charging what you're worth, I think we have such a wonderful profession where, we're passionate about what we do. I mean, getting paid to do what you love is I think, one of the best things in the world. Most people have a job that they hate or they have to go elsewhere to do what they're passionate about. They can't get paid for it. So I think this is a great combination of doing what we love and getting paid well, because there's a great demand for it out there. And the better you get at it, the better, you'll start attracting more and more clients to you, the kind that you want to work with. So visualize that, too, during the week. Visualize clients coming in. That can always help, too. So, all right, great, wonderful. We'll talk to you all in 2 weeks then. And in the meantime, I'll send you an email with this the sample email that I send out to people, and we'll talk soon. If you have any questions, email me with times that you'd like to do that Google Hangout, and I'll do a short interview with you and do a good testimonial for you to help your businesses too. All right, thank you, everyone.
Thanks, Dr. John.
Okay, thanks. Have a good week.
You too.
You too.
All right, bye now.